Today, my guests are Paul DiCarlo and Jeremy Foster. Guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
I can't complain.
Hey, I saw your IoT camp. What was it? Let's Dev This. What was it called?
Man, what was the official title of our camp
today? This was a Let's Dev This IoT tour.
I'll tell you what it was called. It was awesome. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, good stuff, right? It's a fun topic. You kind of can't help with IoT, with a topic like IoT. It's got to be fun.
Well, what does IoT stands for? What?
I have no idea.
Internet of Things.
Internet of Things. I actually knew that. Sort of terrible. What was the goal today?
Well, we wanted to get people to have a first-time experience deploying Windows IoT Core to a Raspberry Pi 2 device, mm-hmm. and also to have like a first-time experience connecting that device up to the new bi-directional IoT hubs that are available within Microsoft Azure.
See, we did the same camp last year, but on the device side, Windows 10 IoT Core wasn't really ready yet, so we had Raspbian, a distribution of Linux, on the device, and we were talking more about Azure IoT, so the services that you could use in the cloud to be the back end behind your IoT project. This year we had a real full story. Not only did we have the client story where we've got Windows 10 running on the device, the same Windows 10 that you've got on your phone and PC and everything, but we also have some richer experience in the cloud, so we've got a really good cloud backend.
Everything has changed. The client's changed, the cloud has changed, everything is better. Let's start with Windows 10. Windows 10 is running on a Raspberry Pi device, which is a tiny device that just, how much memory is on that thing? It's really
tiny. It's a gig of RAM, and it's actually got an ARM processor on it. So it's interesting, it's actually running something called Windows IoT Core. This is a core subset of the Windows 10 operating system that contains a lot of really interesting features. And you know, you'd think, oh, it's core, it's got to be, you know, lobotomized, there can't be much going on in there, right?
Is it
some primitives and that sort of stuff? No, actually you've got some pretty sweet stuff. For example, you can do speech to text, text to speech, live translation, and some of these demos are just amazing stuff. And then add on to that, that because this is a small computer, one of the real cool interactions is through the GPIO pin. So the general purpose input outputs allow us to control things, for example, analog, digital sensors and stuff like that. We can actually take readings from, or we can even write to, say, an analog or digital output. And we could do things like turn on your air conditioner, right? Or turn off your lights, right? Home automation, a lot of different scenarios that you can provide there.
Yeah, this is the paradigm I always need to get my head around, because it changes with the types of devices and the systems you're using. In this case, we're actually deploying code to a Raspberry Pi. It's running locally on that Raspberry Pi. We're not remote controlling it from some other system, right?
Correct.
Right. Some of these devices are really dumb devices. I mean, they just have a few registers and a little bit of functionality to them, so that we call them microcontrollers. They can do a few things, like I can raise this pin and lower this one, but they can't do a whole lot. Others of these devices, and actually still some of the really small ones, are full-on computers. Just a little computer on a board that's got its own memory management unit, and it just has a microcontroller on board that it's able to control, so that it's able to talk to this suite of GPIO pins that Paul's talking about.
Oh, very cool. And then, of course, you can attach other devices to that.
Sure, of course.
More functionality.
Yeah, or create networks of them. You know, you've got the same network stack that you do with the PC, so you've got the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. You could create a whole network of them. They could communicate with your other, maybe larger devices.
And which brings us back to, that's how it's communicating with the cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so tell us about the new things that are going on Azure.
So one of the really interesting things is in this IoT hubs that's been offered, it's kind of an extension of what we used to see in the old event hubs, and that you now have bi-directional communication and a very easy way to securely register devices for communication through that portal. So it's really awesome in that if I have a device and I want to deploy it into some enterprise scenario, right, the first thing that's going to get asked is, how does that fit into here in some sort of a secure functional way, right? And that's sort of solved for you through the IoT hubs. In addition, you've got the same raw horsepower that you had in the older event hubs. For example, the ability to ingest up to a million events per second, and also the ability to tack on other offerings from Azure, for example, our streaming analytics services, and see that data coming through in real time and perhaps learn from it as it's coming through, or make some sort of computational analysis on the data, but as it's coming through the pipe.
Okay, that's the streaming analytics part. You threw out a lot of services there. The streaming analytics part is the ability to actually analyze data without writing it to disk first. usually we write something to a database. Then we query it.
It's like you imagine if somebody asked you to count all the red cars going by on the highway while they were still moving. That's what streaming analytics is.
Okay.
Let's count it while it goes.
And then you talked a little bit about the old notification hubs that have been sort of, they've been wrapped or superseded by the IoT hubs.
Correct. The IoT hubs, in my opinion, they seem to extend upon that functionality. And it's interesting.
Let's back up a little. What is the functionality of notification hub in the first place?
It's not notification hub, actually. It's event hub.
Event hub.
That's right.
There is a notification
hub. That's right. That's right.
Thank you for clarifying that.
So the original event hubs were really to be a mass ingress system. You kind of think about it like a large buffer where data can just kind of come in there and it can just reside. You don't really have to worry about it after a retention period that you set within the Azure portal.
Okay.
And this is really good for things that are constantly coming in, right? You've got large amounts of data coming through,
right.
And this is exactly what we expect in Internet of Things scenarios, because these are traditionally they're computers that have some sort of a sensor device on it,
mm-hmm.
and they might be publishing things every second. And imagine
right.
that you have a swarm of these devices deployed in some sort of scenario,
sure.
possibly learning from each other, providing data for various different benefits. Once you start amassing a whole bunch of that, what you need is this buffer for all of that data to sort of come in through.
Okay.
And then they're kind of one in this, married to, I guess you should say, it's very, very common to see this applied with streaming analytics services, because as you have all this data, how would you operate on that, right? And that's where that comes to the rescue.
Imagine what you're really trying to do is you're trying to avoid that point in time that you try to send a message, say to an HTTP service or something, mm-hmm. and it says, I'm sorry, the server's too busy. You know, you're throwing all this information at me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna have to reject this so that I can go on and do something else. Event Hubs is likely never gonna run into that situation in your scenario, because even if you do run out of throughput, you just up the partitions.
I see.
You've got more partitions, and so now you can pull in more and more and more.
So it can buffer that data and then queue it up for processing later on.
That's right. And the IoT hub is kind of like Event Hub, plus the ability to do the bidirectional messaging with an easy API, plus the ability to register and manage your devices.
Outstanding. So tell me about the experiment that you had the students do today.
So it was really cool. We really wrapped up around everything that we've sort of been talking about already, right? So the first thing we did was we introduced them to how to obtain the Windows 10 IoT core, right? How to get that onto a physical device. So how do you flash that onto an SD card, get that up on your Raspberry Pi, and actually see this operating system running in the full flesh? Then what we did was we went through and we built up the infrastructure on Azure to be able to support the messages that we knew we were going to be consuming from the device.
Hmm.
So after we got those set up, which consisted of the IoT hubs as well as the streaming analytics service.
Yeah, these are the first really simple messages, like the word red.
Yeah, it could be, well, we'll talk about that. That comes more into the bidirectional phase. Right now we're kind of looking at it going up into the cloud.
Okay.
And so once we got that all set up, we had to supply some sort of sensors to the device, right, so we would have data to read. And what really came clutch for us was GHI is producing the FezHat, which is this device that has numerous functionality on it. It can support like two motors. It's got various analog digital input pins right on the device, buttons that you can use to initiate things, LEDs for status showing and that sort of stuff. It's really, really cool. So you just pop it on there, right? They literally call it a hat because it fits onto the device just like a hat. And we deployed some code out to that was taking those readings and then publishing that back up into the IoT hubs that we had created.
Very cool.
And so what was really neat is when you kind of saw the picture come full circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. Like, we've seen a device take something, publish that up into the cloud,
mm-hmm.
streaming analytics stuff. And then with the IoT hubs, now with this new bidirectionality, we can send messages back to the device.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see something occur, right? Maybe you think about this in a hypothetical situation. Perhaps you want to maybe turn off that particular portion of the plant, right? Because your sensors are going...
Maybe it's too hot, the temperature's too high.
Correct, and maybe you've just learned through some sort of model that, hey, this means trouble's coming, let's adapt to that. You know, so it's really interesting that you can do that. You can actually have these devices listening for notifications coming back out of the IoT hubs as well. And so we simulated that with a program called the Device Explorer that would let us simulate those messages coming back and forth. Well, I shouldn't say simulate, it actually sends them, and then the device would literally operate on them.
But you were hand-entering a lot of those messages then.
Correct.
Yeah, very cool. And then applications for this, this is of course a really simple thing that you had students do in a one-day classroom environment, but the applications are endless, right?
The really cool part, too, one thing that we talked about today, we didn't actually put on the plate of the students, but we talked about it, was another offering in Azure IoT Services called Azure IoT Suite, which is basically like all the work that we did in the lab today done in 5 minutes for you in the form of a project template for the most part, where you basically go to azureiotsuite.com.
Okay.
And it's you sign in with the same authentication account as you have an Azure subscription in, and then you can just say, create me a new remote monitoring solution, and in 5 or 6 minutes, you've got a full fleshed out solution in Azure, including a website where you can go and do the device management yourself through a web portal. And then it's just a starting point. You know, from that point, you can go, you know, add, you can customize the web portal so it looks like your company, and you can add features that your company needs. You can change the messages that are actually getting sent up there. Wow. And you instantly, when you create this, see graphs of data, even though you're not sending anything, because it gives you simulated devices. Oh. So it's really great. It's really satisfying to see graphs of data in 5 minutes up and working.
I agree. I think this is the challenging part for a lot of people, is there's a lot of moving pieces.
There sure are.
There's hardware, there's several different services in Azure, and what I think the Azure team is trying to do is to bring these together.
And they really need to cover so much. Like, they need it to work for hackers and enterprise developers. They need it to be bulletproof for enterprise scenarios, and they also need it to be not too difficult, like with not all kinds of security hurdles for hackathons.
At least for the starting point, yeah.
Absolutely. And so they need it to be easy, but they also need it to be powerful. Like, they've got to really span all that. It's got to be able to serve all those bases.
Very cool. I like the fact that the code that you were showing today is all open source.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So it's all built off of the Connect the Dots project. Again, I found this really interesting that when you look at the solution that Jeremy was talking about, you see this full on like IoT scenario built for you in like 5 minutes, literally. And then you can go ahead and dissect that with this Connect the Dots project and sort of see what that infrastructure is actually comprised of, right? So you can see the solution, then you can dissect the solution. And so you can start to think about ways to maybe construct it a little bit differently, or ways to kind of make it more your own for whatever scenario it is that you're looking to create.
Excellent. Do you think that I could see this project in action right now?
Well, I bet we could. Let's take a look.
You know, before we jump out and show it, I want to just make sure that we mention the URL for the labs. If they want to try this at home, they just go to aka.ms/iot-ctd-field-labs, and maybe you've got a good way of sharing that
with
people.
We can put it right here across the bottom of the screen, and we can also put it in the show notes as well.
All right. So should we show them?
Let's do it right now.
Here we go.
So the first thing we did was we installed Windows 10 IoT Core onto the Raspberry Pi 2 device. And next, we outfitted it with this Fez hat. And this is actually what's going to give us the ability to have sensor readings and that sort of thing coming into the device. Then we're going to open up this program here, the Windows 10 IoT Core Pi 2 Fez hat. And all of this is part of the Connect the Dots Windows IoT Core Pi 2 Fez hat IoT hub project. So if you pop into the Connect the Dots project, you can go to connectthedots.io. You can navigate into devices, directly connected devices, and Windows IoT Core Pi 2 Fez hat. You'll see all of the instructions that we went through for this particular lab. What's pretty cool here is that once I've got the device having the code launched onto it, you'll see that it starts to deploy through Visual Studio, and we get ourselves a nice little user interface that's going to pop up here that's going to show us the live readings as they're happening on the device. So for this particular example, all we're really looking at is light and temperature data. Of course, there are other sensors on this device, and there's other sensors that you can use to extend out your Raspberry Pi for further different scenarios.
What is that user interface? Is that actually, are we looking at the computer itself?
So this is actually piping the HDMI out of the Raspberry Pi 2 into the Surface. So that's how
Windows
we're going to see it.
On the Raspberry Pi.
Correct. Yeah, so you're literally seeing it, and there's our readings coming through. So you'll see a light and temperature value right there, and as soon as it starts to initialize, you'll see the light 72.16. I can put my hand over here, right, and it goes down. And similarly, I can blow on it and bring that temperature down, right? It's very, very simple. So whenever I pop into my Azure portal, you can see the infrastructure that's making all of this happen is this Azure IoT Hub is actually ingesting all of that data that's coming off of the device. In fact, we can see that all occurring right here
in the output window of the program as it's running. So you'll see here, message sent, temperature, light, etc. That's exactly what's going through into our IoT hub that we have right here. Now, similarly, this is one way that we can kind of see that data coming through, but it's not very verbose, right? So what we built was a front end in ASP.NET that we deployed out to Azure. So this is also part of the project. So you can come here into the Connect the Dots website. This is in part of the assets folder of the project we were looking at earlier. All I did, come in here, change a few things under web config, right click, and you, have you seen this? This is pretty sweet. You can actually publish directly to Azure from Visual Studio. So
that
literally,
awesome.
Come in here, publish, select your website, hit the button, boom, you're ready to rock
and
roll.
That's already published here. Let's take a look at it.
So here's some of that data as it's coming through
Oh, nice.
Into our portal. And you can see that similarly, just as what we saw in the user interface earlier, if I put my hand over the device, right, we should see the light go down.
Yeah.
And similarly, if I was to blow, I should see the temperature go down. And there you have it, a real IoT core scenario running in the cloud.
That is so cool.
So pretty neat stuff, right? And, you know, any of this, if you guys want to get the lab, of course, you can go to aka.ms/IoT-CTD-HOL-lab. So I'm sure you're going to put that at the bottom of this video.
It rolls right off the tongue.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
So there you have it, a full-on end-to-end IoT scenario where you've got your device, your Raspberry Pi 2 running Windows 10 IoT Core, publishing data up through into IoT hubs, and we also saw a nice example of IoT hubs communicating back to the Raspberry Pi 2 running Windows 10 IoT Core.
And you know what? I always want to make sure that people know at this point that even though this example is temperature and light data that's being written up to the cloud, you know, just change that, add a different sensor to the thing and take in to account whatever kind of data you want, and all of a sudden you have a whole new scenario. So you don't have to be limited to exactly what this one does.
Possibilities are endless. Very cool. Very, very cool demo. Thank you. You guys have an online presence, right?
Yeah, sure.
Jeremy?
I'm on Twitter at CodeFoster and online at CodeFoster.com. So.
You are?
And I'm online at Twitter at PJDeCarlo, DeCarlo, and PJDeCarlo.com.
Pretty
Thanks
easy.
So much.
Thanks. Code Foster here with a quick tip. Technology has no intrinsic value. Family and friends, however, do. So if your technology improves yourself, your friends, or your family, then it has value. Otherwise, get rid of it.